And welcome back to Real Clear with Dr. Klein, the crossroads of politics and psychology. If you would like to listen to ad-free episodes and have access to daily and weekly releases, essays, and other membership perks, and you also want to help in the production of this program, go to realclearpodcast.com and click subscribe. There are a lot of places in this world where you can put your money, and so I thank you for considering membership to realclearpodcast.com. I hope you enjoy this next episode. I am joined today by Rodney Norman, who is a motivational comedian. Rodney, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Sure. You're an exceptional guest in the sense that this is a little different than what I usually do on the show. But I'd like to ask you a question. How is today?
How is today? Today is awesome. Today is the most important day of my entire life. Because it's the only day I can do anything with.
Yeah. Let me tell you how I came upon you. In my profession, clinical psychology, we're currently undergoing the worst thing in the world. None of us have been paid for 2 months. This huge cyber attack on this giant processing software froze all payments for every therapist, medical professional, private doctor. Many hospitals are going out of business. And it's like this crisis for everybody. It's a dark time. And I had been going through Instagram and I saw one of your messages. And you were wearing a mellow yellow shirt. And you said, there's a lot of bad stuff, but there's some good stuff too. And you struck me as a cross between Gandalf and Jerry Garcia. Have you ever heard that before? Anyway, I needed.
Yes. I'm pretty much a Rorschach test for everybody who sees me. Because whoever it is I remind them of that has a beard says something about their personality.
Yeah, tell us about yourself. I know nothing about you. Where are you from? What are you about?
I grew up in Utah. I have a background and got a degree in philosophy. I was in the Marine Corps, and I've been doing stand-up comedy for 26, 27 years now. And I just took all these things I enjoy and mixed them together and started having fun making some videos just to get people to chill out and enjoy life. We shouldn't be running around just be mad miserable about everything all the time.
You've got a point there. Obviously, that resonates with people. You've got about 500,000 followers on Instagram. That's pretty substantial. And you're in Connecticut now?
Right now I'm in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. But yeah, I live in Connecticut.
What brought you to Connecticut?
In the comedy game, you either have to be in New York or LA to get to get any acknowledgement. And so we didn't want to live in New York City, so we settled in Connecticut 20 some odd years ago. And then it turns out just making videos in my backyard is what got me. I could have just stayed in Utah.
Do you remember the first video you ever made?
I've made videos several over the years. I remember I started doing this video series with my kids back when YouTube first started, where I made instructional videos for my kids. Important lessons like how to turn off a light switch. Uh-huh. How to put the vacuum away when they were done using it. How to shut cupboard doors. And it was just a fun, silly thing we did. And then somebody else started doing the same thing, and he became famous from it. And I just looked like I was hacking, even though I was doing it before he did. But so that was my first lesson in doing videos is you got to get there first. But I played around with it, didn't really do much with it. And then one day during the thing, you remember the thing that we went through all together collectively a few years ago?
Yeah, I remember various things and a big thing.
Yeah, my work got canceled. So I'm sitting around, nothing to do. So I just started making silly videos. And one of them just blew up and took off. And then people started paying attention. So then making videos is a little more fun when people are actually going to see them.
So, Roddy, what is plaguing America right now, our collective consciousness? What do you see as the fundamental problem in the way people are living their lives?
I think the biggest thing is fear. They're just, we see all these wars popping up. We have everybody fighting over politics and everything else. And it's easy to feel like this is a daunting task that we're having to take on. And in reality, the world's been doing this forever. This isn't anything new. It's not, oh, this is extraordinary times. No, it's all been extraordinary the whole time we've been here. Life is extraordinary. And you should just be enjoying it. And most of the stuff that's going on has very little to do with us. And there's very little that most of us could do anything about it. If we can, I hope you're doing something. But if there's nothing you can do, enjoy your life and do what you can do in your life. If you take care of yourself and those around you, then the rest of the world doesn't have to pick up the slack. I guess that's the message I'm trying to share with people.
And I love how general, I think the incisiveness of some of your messages lies in the general, right? You say, do stuff, be strong, and so forth. And are you informed by Albert Camus?
What's that?
Are you informed by Camus? You said you have a history background, a philosophy background, and you seem to use a lot of absurdism, as many comedians do.
Oh, yes, Camus. Yeah, Camus, Nietzsche. Really, the whole gamut. Because, yeah, life is absurd, but it's also meaningful. There's a lot of meaning and there's a lot of purpose to all this. And it's just a lot of it is that it's, and the reason I keep my videos fairly general is that I'm allowing people to interpret it the way they want and what they need at the time. And I've had people tell me they've watched the same video 2 years apart. And it hit them differently the second time because it was a different message, but it was the same video. And it's really just capturing an idea in a moment that people can use whenever they need it. You know, you hear what you need to hear when you need to hear it. Mm-hmm. And I love creating things that do that for people. It's a lot of fun.
A lot of what I've seen of your work draws out the absurdity of depressive and anxious despair. Can you shine a light as to how absurd it is? Life will either go on, and usually it does, and eventually it doesn't for everyone. And so why despair is basically your message, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, we're all, I'm sorry for the spoiler alert, but we all die at some point in time. This is all going to be over. And so while you're here, it's a beautiful gift, whether you believe it's from a wise, kind God that created for us, or if we're just a bunch of happy accidents that the universe just fell together and this happened and here we are. Regardless, it's amazing that we're here. Life is an amazing thing. You should be enjoying every minute of it for all of its craziness, absurdities. You should still just love it for what it is, even the absurdities.
What do you do on the rest of your spare time when you're not humorizing existence?
I take a lot of naps. I like to work out and exercise most of the time, whenever I can. I enjoy just spending time with my wife, and now our kids are grown up and they've moved on. It's just the two of us and we're having fun because we still like each other. And so that's nice. I do a lot of reading and writing. I'm looking forward to... I've got so many different projects I'm got going that are half baked, and none of them are. I got a lot of irons in the fire, and none of it's very hot. And so I need to take my own advice and start focusing on something. But
what are you going to be doing upcoming that people can pay attention to?
I'm touring currently. I'm a stand up comedian, so I'm doing shows all over the country. I'm in Montana for the next couple of weeks, and then we're in Utah, and then Pennsylvania, and Maine, and New Hampshire, and Massachusetts. Just traveling, hitting everywhere I can. Just spreading the good news to as many people as I can.
Spreading the good news, not like the other people who spread the good news.
Yes.
So people can find you at your website, is that right? Rodney
Norman. Oh, RodneyNorman.com. It's got all the stuff. You can find all the social media links and all that stuff.
And you'll be touring as as long as you can, I assume. Is that what you love
long
to do?
As I can. Yes, absolutely. As I'm working currently on a comedy special, and I'm hoping to shop that around, get that put out somewhere significant so that people actually see it.
I hope Netflix picks it up. Do you think they will?
I don't know. They're a tough nut to crack, so we'll see.
Rodney, so in terms of the way people are living their lives day to day now, you see fear as a primary issue that stops people from being able to spread themselves across existence as best they could. And if fear is the problem, what is the antidote?
If you would like to listen to ad-free episodes and have access to daily and weekly releases, essays, and other membership perks, and you also want to help in the production of this program, go to realclearpodcast.com and click subscribe. There are a lot of places in this world where you can put your money, and so I thank you for considering membership to realclearpodcast.com.
It's love. It's finding those around you and doing things to make their lives better. And the best way to overcome depression, anxiety, fear is action. It's do things, find things that bring you joy. And if you can't think of things that you want to do for yourself, then look at others and help them. I've seen a lot of people find a lot of fulfillment in helping others fulfill their dreams.
You like objects in motion, don't you?
Absolutely. Just keep doing things, whether it's reading or you don't have to be running marathons or climbing mountains. There's lots of things that you can do that bring action in your life. Volunteer local charities, help feed the homeless, all kinds of things. So you can go on United Way and there's lists of organizations that need help and you can volunteer and help there. There's so many things that we could do. We actually have too many options. People think they don't have enough options or they're limited. It's like, no, it's unlimited what you could be doing and the experiences you could have and the people you could meet. And who knows where those experiences and those connections will take you. You just got to open yourself up to it and appreciate and enjoy it and do it.
So you think maybe most people prematurely foreclose upon and limit what their actual options are in their immediate surround?
Oh, absolutely. That's the biggest thing, is we stop from exploring and looking at new options and new opportunities because we're so fixated on what we wanted or what we expected. And we leave ourselves closed off to so many other possibilities and so many options. I remember one time when I was in high school, my brother, who was a couple of years older than me, was an amazingly gifted and talented artist, a brilliant artist at drawing and painting. And I took an arts class from one of his old teachers. And I remember the day I was sitting there and she, I was doing roll call for the first time and she came across my name and she saw Norman. She's, "Oh, are you Stephen's brother?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And she goes, "I expect great things from you." And immediately I just, all the blood just ran. I was like, I'm going to get an F in this class because there's no way I'm ever going to match his abilities. And so I think I stayed in the class for just a couple more days and really started thinking, what do I want to do? I enjoy drawing. I enjoy art. I enjoy painting, but not to the level that he does. And so I thought, what do I want to do? And I talked to a friend and he was telling me about being in debate class. And I never thought about being in debate. And I thought, why not give it a shot? So I joined debate. And it turned into be one of the funnest, most rewarding experiences of my young life because it opened me up to public speaking, competing, and I got to meet so many different people and it opened so many doors. It really was my path. And it was because I left myself open to try new things. I've just lived my life that way, is that I'm just open to just trying new things. just because I don't know them or understand them doesn't mean I should not do it. You know, give it a shot. Be willing to look like an idiot. That's, I think that's my greatest asset, is that I'm perfectly fine at looking like a complete imbecile.
It strikes me that comedy is inherently a debate. It's a debate with the audience's presuppositions as to what existence allows them to be.
Oh, absolutely. You hit it right there. I tell people when they first start doing comedy, how to write, because that's the biggest thing, is where do you come up with your material? How do you write? What do you do? What do you talk about? And I'll tell people, find things that you hate about life, 10 things that bother you, and present that you're going to be giving a case in court. And you have to list all the things as to why this is horrible and should end, whatever it is. Like one of my things is wheat thins. They're disgusting, horrible things. And I think they're bringing modern culture to a complete standstill because they are disgusting. So tell people, and put some passion and some emotion into it. And because really that's what comedy is. All communication in some way is some sort of a debate, some sort of a give and take.
And you have to be rather subtle. I think all comedians have to be rather subtle. Because in order to target the fault line in people's insistence that everything is screwed and they shouldn't bother not being depressed or anxious, you really have to hone in on where people are, how people are structuring their implicit argument that they ought to imbibe as much as they can into the despair of existence. I have great respect for comedians, such an intuitive grasp of where people are teetering on the precipice of, I could probably let that despair go. This is all silly. And to help them tip over the edge there a little bit into fun, that really is an art.
That's one of the amazing things about comedy, is that it's an opportunity to really, make fun of the things that we need to make fun of, the things that people take too seriously. Those are the things you want to make fun of. I remember one time I was doing a comedy show, and before the show, they came out with a list of things that we are not allowed to talk about.
Oh, geez.
And it just made me laugh, because I was like, the true comic in me was looking at this list thinking, oh, I guess this is all the things I'm talking about tonight.
that was when things started to come about, when they're trying to do the woke limitations on comedy. Is that what you're referencing?
Yeah.
Don't talk about anybody in this group or that group.
See, it used to be the things he would always say was no foul language. That would be the list of, these are the words you're not allowed to say. That list has now gone into, it's absurd.
It's like, and Soviet comedy. I've never heard of such a thing.
The what?
Imagine what Soviet comedy would be.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. It's all just burps and farts at that point.
Yeah, sure. There's only the only safe thing you can do. Now, in order to dwell in the absurd, to take things lightly and so forth, there's obviously an undercurrent of seriousness in any narrative of that manner. And any comedy is an existential narrative, right? Mm-hmm. It is a particular through line to be an existential narrative. And it has a humorous delivery, but the message is not shallow. I imagine for every comic, there has to be the contrast between personal angst and the comedic, where you prefer to dwell. How do you deal with the moments in life, or can you tell us a bit about your own moments in life where it's not so comedic on first glance? It's more personal angst.
Pretty much everything is that way. And it really comes down to developing an overall attitude towards life in general. Because you can, if you focus on all the negative things, like we have a tire, we're driving all over the country. We have this tire that keeps losing air. And I bought one of those air pumps that you can hook into your DC outlet on your car, your cigarette lighter. And I have to keep putting air in this car tire every day. And it's very frustrating, because we've taken it into a place and they've found a nail in it and they patched it. And we thought, okay, that solved. Yay, we can move on. The next day it lost air again. And so we drove around for a couple more days, just kept putting air in it, And then we went to another place to get, because we thought maybe the patch that the other place put in did work. So we go in. Well, it turns out it was a second hole that developed. We got another hole in that same tire. It was a different piece of metal that they had found. So they patched that hole. So we thought, okay, now we are fine. Everything's great. We've got the patch holes. The next day, it's losing air, and it's losing air even faster than it did before. So we don't know if it's one of those holes that popped open. We don't know if we got another hole or if there's a whole different other issue. We don't know. But instead of getting upset and bothered about it, we're having fun deciding. We challenge it to see who can decide, who can figure out how much air it's lost overnight. Are we going to be down to 27 pounds of pressure? Is it going to be down to 19? Who knows? You just have fun with it. So instead of all these little things in life that would normally upset you and get you bothered, I say just enjoy, make it fun. You know, when you deal with at work with somebody who's just really a cantankerous nincompoop, who's just an idiot, who's just a horrible, rotten, miserable person for whatever reason. Instead of getting upset about everything that they do or that irritates you, I encourage people, enjoy how horrible they are. You know, start keeping records of how horrible they are. And then you find yourself excited when they do horrible, terrible things. Because it's, oh, here's another one from my case study of horribleness.
It's like Dwight Schrute this person from The Office.
And it also, it changes you and changes your attitude towards that person. Because you realize that they're a human being and they're going through difficult times and that this is how they express themselves. And instead of being upset by finding the humor in it, you also find the humanity in it. You start to have an understanding. You start to become more empathetic when you're looking at things from a humorous point. Because behavior, we all behave horribly many times, do silly, quirky things and that make sense to us, but don't make sense to other people. And when you try to just enjoy how other people are and their quirks and their weirdness, you really develop an appreciation for them. And that's really is when you look for the funny in life, you find acceptance and you find kindness and you find peace.
It's so eloquently put. And as you were describing this, I was thinking to myself, the humor, the humoristic in life seems to me to be the antidote for narcissism.
True.
It requires you to develop a frame of reference where you're not the center of every action and inaction and injustice. You're rather a general part of the overall landscape. And the overall landscape is absurd at times. It's unfair. It's quirky. It's beautiful. But you are unique, but you're not necessarily the assailed geocentric feature of existence. Humor can only exist when people dislodge themselves from a sort of pure centrality in their own minds.
As I like to tell people, you're nothing special. We all go through hardships. We all are experiencing difficulties. We all have pains. We all have medical problems. We all have health issues. We all have money problems. We all go through all of these things. It's a part of the human condition. You are not being singled out. The universe does not hate you. God is not trying to destroy your life. You're just a human being, and none of us are being singled out. We're all miserable. We all have miserable things happening to us.
This is the other thing is
if you take yourself out of you, this is what's happening to me. Oh no. Instead, when you just start becoming an observer of life and just appreciate life for what it is and who it is and all these different things and all of its varieties. When you start to appreciate that from that perspective, you find you're just at more peace, you know, because you're not trying to change things. You're not trying to make things the way you want them to be. When you stop and just allow them to be what they are, you find you learn more about yourself. You learn more about life. You become more empathetic. And again, it's getting away from that narcissistic attitude of, oh, it's for me. It's all about me. And no one thinks that much of you at all because they're too worried about themselves.
Rodney Norman, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you. People can find you at rodneynorman.com. They can also click the show notes below. I'll have all of your details there, your Instagram, your other social media links, as well as your website and publications and your tour dates. And I hope people check you out. I think what you're doing is so important. And thanks for coming on Real Clear. We hope to come again.
Thank you for having me.